Good morning once again. I thank the Lord and praise God for this opportunity He has given me to be in His Word, and also extend my thanks and regards to all the sisters who have opened this opportunity for me and prayed for me for the past many weeks. A short introduction was given. Yes, I am Georgia, my husband Thomas, and my son is Johanan. Yes, I know a lot of them call him Jonathan. Yes. So, let's pray before we begin. Lord, Father, we thank You once again for bringing us together into Thy presence. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone who teaches Thy ways and paths. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity that You had given me to present Thy word. Lord, may I decrease and You might increase, O dear Lord. May the Holy Spirit lead me in sharing what You have encouraged me in the past many weeks, O dear Lord. And Lord, may we have receiving ears and listening ears and receiving hearts, O dear Father. Encourage me through Thy word and help me to humble myself as I present this word before You, dear Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm sure you would agree with me in saying that in today's world, we find ourselves prioritizing our activities, be it work, be it our family, be it our church, our daily living. Prioritization is key. In our family, if we don't prioritize something, it usually doesn't get done. The same is true in our Christian life as well. So this morning, I would like, if you would like to consider the necessity of sitting at His feet. Let us look into the account when Lord Jesus visited the home of Martha and Mary, as it is recorded in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. So if you may will, let's pause and turn to Luke chapter 10. And verses 38 through 42. I use the King James Version, but I like to read from New King James Version. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. If we backtrack a little to understand why Jesus was visiting his friends. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. We see in this Gospels that this journey was not a direct one. He made several stops, like how we see here in Bethany in chapter 10. And if we turn to chapter 17, we see that he was in Samaria. And then in chapter 19, we see that the Lord made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So this morning, to consider, I have come up with five aspects from this account. One, details of Martha and Mary. Second, Martha's distractions. Thirdly, Mary's devotion. Fourthly, disapproval by the Lord Jesus. And finally, I would like to call digesting the story. So let's look at the details regarding Martha and Mary from this account. As we read in verse 38, the Lord Jesus and his disciples visited the village where Martha lived. And we see in John chapter 11 that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived in the village of Bethany. Martha's name being mentioned first traditionally means she is the oldest. As we read further on, we see Martha as a good housekeeper and a hostess. Martha and Mary's home was an inviting place for the Lord and his disciples. Many times, our Lord invited himself into their home. The picture that we see here is that although Christ was rejected by many, yet he was welcomed and entertained by this family. So is the condition in the world today. Though he is rejected by many, yet he is near and dear to his own. How about Mary? We don't see much information on her. Nothing about her personality or her physical appearance. All we know is that when Jesus came to their home, she was willing to listen at Lord's teaching and sit at his feet. In fact, every time Mary is pictured in the gospel, we find her at his feet. When you look into John chapter 11, Jesus, when he came to Bethany to console Martha and Mary at Lazarus' death, we read Mary fell at his feet, weeping and saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And in John chapter 12, we know that we find Mary anointing Jesus' feet with an expensive perfume and wiping his feet with her hair. We see this picture that she was not only listening to his word, but was at his feet. This was an unusual act for that time, as rabbis would not have allowed women to sit at their feet. But for Mary to be at front and to be at his feet shows her closeness with the Lord. Her posture shows us her intense interest in his teaching and the attitude of a true believer. But Martha, on the other hand, seems to be task-oriented. She seems to be busy wanting to serve and who keeps up with her duties. She seems to be very hospitable, but she rushes to serve Jesus, and we see the details of her hospitality. And where do we see that? In verse 40, we see Martha calling Jesus as Lord. This shows that they are true believers and have received him as their Messiah. Secondly, let's look at Martha's distraction. In verse 40, it states that Martha was cumbered about much serving. King James Version uses the word cumbered. And I had to look it up again. In New King James Version says distracted. Looking into this word distracted, it basically means dragged away or pulled away. We can only imagine the situation here. Martha was probably concerned about having arranged everything and having the table set. We all have entertained people in our homes and know all that is involved in it. It's not an easy task to be hospitable. Martha was doing a commendable service to the Lord. Then what is the problem here? All these preparations and time have taken away and distracted Martha from doing better things. And what is that? Sitting at his feet, listening and learning from the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Hospitality is commanded in the Bible. This is what we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, reading from New King James Version. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Showing kindness one to another without grudging. So hospitality is indeed commendable. Of course, we know she was doing it for the Lord, the most perfect guest she could have, and yet we see that her priorities got mixed up. What do I mean by saying her priorities got mixed up? Well, here we have our very God visiting Martha's house, and she is distracted and pulled away from sitting at his feet. Not only that, but she is now seen complaining and seen displeased with the Lord and her sister Mary. In her busyness of being hospitable, she loses the joy of serving. She expresses her disappointment in her sister Mary and doubts her Lord and says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Martha demands Jesus to advise Mary to give her a helping hand. Moving to the third aspect, the disapproval of Martha's attitude. In verse 41, we read, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Here we see our Lord being very gracious in correcting Martha. Not a word of condemnation, but only love and gracious correction is seen. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, "Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." Our Lord is not correcting her actions, but her attitude towards him. The Lord says, Martha, you're worried and troubled with many things. The word troubled is the idea of being disturbed in one's mind. Only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Again, what is that good part? Mary's decision of sitting at his feet to hear and to learn from him. It's a beautiful picture of us abiding in Christ and in his word as branches of a vine. We need to be connected to the vine so we can bear the fruit of Christ's likeness. In Psalms 27:4, this is one of my son's favorite verses. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There's only one priority, which is to know Christ and to be conformed to his likeness. As we spend more time in his word, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out, and it is a continual, lifelong process. Fourthly, let's consider Mary's devotion. Mary has chosen a good part, says the Lord. And what is that good part again? Her decision to sit at his feet, learn, and know more of him. So it is with us, we have a choice too, to make like Martha and Mary daily in our lives. We live in a world, we are constantly bombarded with activities and entertainment that distracts us from one thing or the other. But there's only one thing that is necessary, and which is to be at his feet. Here are some of the questions that I asked myself. Are we committed to the Lord and his word? Does his word richly abide in us? Do we spend time every day in his word for one sole purpose, to be transformed by his beauty so that our lives would be more like his? Do we spend time in prayer seeking his face and his grace? Do others see that we have been with the Savior? When we have an opportunity to serve him with an attitude of glorifying him and not self, realizing that it is his work and that we are just his servants and hopefully the faithful ones. Mary has chosen the good part of sitting at his feet, learning and abiding in him. So this kind of encouraged me to look and share what are the benefits of learning the word of God or studying the word of God. You could come up with many, as many as we want, but I will just share a few this morning. The first one, the word of God causes spiritual growth in us. All these, I have several references to give you guys, but they have encouraged me tremendously in my life. And more than giving my life examples, these are the verses that has encouraged me. Without spending time in the word of God, we cannot grow spiritually. Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. We must desire the milk of the word to grow, but we cannot thrive on the milk alone. As the writer in the Hebrews says, we must eat the solid food to grow to maturity. Hebrews 5:12-14. And speaking from my personal experience, I have always desired to grow spiritually. But I realized that spending time in God's word is key to my own spiritual growth, and I had to make it a priority. The word of God increases faith in us. As believers, we all have to increase in our Christian faith. The best way to increase in faith is by spending time in God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When difficulties and trying circumstances come into my life, I tend to doubt. I become anxious, but God, through the indwelling Spirit, brings to my memory the precious promises of God. They help me to increase in my faith in him. The word of God cleanses us. The word of God has a cleansing effect on our lives. Paul in Ephesians 5:26, he says, he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The Word of God is a mirror in that it shows us our sins. We read that in James 1, 23 and 24. But it also cleanses us from our sin. John 15:3, our Lord himself says, "Ye are clean, though the word which I have spoken unto you." I'm sure we all have experienced moments when we spend time in the Word of God and we have been convicted maybe of an improper attitude or a particular behavior that is totally displeasing to God. And it has caused us to repent and set things right with God. The Word of God brings comfort and hope. In times of discouragement and hopelessness, it is the Word of God that fills us with hope and comfort. In Romans 15:4, Paul says that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Word of God not only comforts us, but also enables us to be a comfort to others. And this is one of my favorite words that has encouraged me through my difficult times. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The Word of God gives us guidance and direction. Psalm 119 and verse 105. We all know this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God shines the light on our path so we know which way to go. However, the light shines only so far in front of us. As we walk forward, it shines further out. We must walk in the light that we have been given before we receive any additional light. And we read that in Matthew 25:29. The Word of God keeps us from sin. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119 and 8 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." When we hide God's word in our hearts, it keeps us from sinning. Somebody said, and I quote, "The Bible will keep us from sin, but sin will keep us away from our Bibles." Paul in Ephesians 6 and 17 speaks of the armor of God, and he says, "The sword of the Spirit is the word of God." Our Lord himself, when he was tested by Satan in Matthew 4, he said three times, "It is written." And that is speaking of the Word of God. And it speaks of the significance of the Word of God to fight sin and Satan. Now, Word of God gives us wisdom and understanding. To know God's Word is to know Christ. And to know Christ is to know God. And to know God is to know wisdom. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Matthew 7:24, our Lord himself says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." One of the many challenges we have in our lives as believers is the fact that we have to make decisions both great and small. And we need God's guidance in helping us in decisioning process that they might be in accordance to His will. It is through His word that God gives us the confidence to make these decisions. The Word of God gives us peace. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." When we make God's word a priority in our lives, we find peace in Him and in His word. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And fifth and final aspect I would want us to consider is what I would call digesting the story. The difference between Martha and Mary is not that one served and the other did not, but that one served out of joy and love and the other served out of compulsion. So let us joyfully devote ourselves to Christ and depend on Him. Let us be faithful in using what God has given us wherever He places us. There is no better place to be than at His feet. But remember, one day we will all be at His feet. For those who have trusted in Him for salvation, we will be at His feet in worship, adoration, and praise. But those who have rejected Him will also be at His feet, or more accurately, under His feet. Psalm 110 and verse 1, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." So may our Lord help us to prioritize our time in His Word and choose the better part of sitting at His feet, learning more about Him and knowing more of Him and being more like Him. May His name be honored and glorified.